great faith and increased faith. Amen. Faith is simply believing in something or someone that you can't see. Faith is believing in something or in someone you can't see. And it changes how you think. And it changes the things that you do. Because if you believe in it or believe in someone, and that thing that you believe, it will come to pass. And in our case, we believe that Jesus will return. And if Jesus is going to return, it ought to change how we act, how we behave, how we think. Amen? And in Luke 17, they told the Lord, the apostles said to Lord Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. So if faith is just believing, then how much more believing you have to have when you already believe? Have you been like, I believe, Lord. I mean, how much more do you want from me? You already have the acknowledgement of I believe already. If there's something more to it, amen? So if it was just simply believing, then everybody will be on the same level. Because everybody will say, I believe. But to have your faith to increase, for it to happen, your faith has to be measured. If there's an increase, there has to be a measurement to know that it increased. You guys with me? So if it was 1 foot, to find an increase, there has to be a foot and a half. There has to be a measurement first. And the same thing with your faith. Your faith has to be measured to know that's increased. And the only way that your faith can be measured is through the trials that you go through in life. Jesus cares very much about each of our faith, amen? It's like gold to him. It's like the good treasure. And to determine what kind of faith that we have, we have to see what Jesus says about faith. Isn't that a good start? Amen? Amen. So are you ready to go into the word? Amen? Yes. Amen. Let's go before God in prayer. God, we ask God that you may bless your word, God, this morning, Lord. Lord, that we will not just be ordinary people with just ordinary little faith, God, but we will hear what you have to say this morning and take it to heart, exercise it, God, and that you could see from heaven, God, that your people have great faith on this earth, God. Minister your word to us, God. Let it have right away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 A desire to be great in the kingdom doesn't happen by chance, but by purpose. I say that one more time. A desire to be great in the kingdom of God does not happen by chance, but by purpose. You purpose in your heart by the decisions you make. I don't believe that we will enter into heaven and there will be people that are called great by chance. It doesn't work that way. It's not like you're going to meet some dude in heaven and you're going to say, man, dude, how did you become great? And be like, man, dude, God is just so good, man. I was just chilling, surfing every day. And man, it's God, man. He just called me great. It's just like that. No, it's not like that. You purpose in your heart to be great in the kingdom, and it doesn't come by chance, but by purpose. And people who come out to church faithfully and have a desire of wanting more of God, having a desire of for more increase, more faith, and for growth in their life, you will purpose in your heart to have great faith. You won't settle for just any kind of faith. And believe it or not, there are only two individuals in the whole Bible where Jesus said and stopped and said, great is your faith. One was to a woman. The other one was to a man, a Roman centurion. And you would think he would say it to his 12 disciples, but he didn't. They're both Gentiles, not Jewish. You want to have great faith. If you want your faith to increase, to have Jesus commend you to have great faith, this sermon is for you. Let's go to our base text, amen. Luke 17, 3-5 will serve as our base text. It says this. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and seven times in a day he returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I'd like to first talk about asking God to increase your faith. When you ask God to increase your faith, that's a good thing, amen? It's a good thing to want to increase and to grow in the faith. But they did not know how. That's why they asked the Lord Jesus, how? Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus was going to tell them. Because one of the things that grieves Jesus the most is his people, his followers, his believers having little faith. He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants every believer to have great faith. I don't think he's like, will settle for people who, if he disciples 12 men for 3.5 years, and at the end of 3.5 years, all they have is little faith. It will grieve his heart. By default, when we come into the faith, we have little faith. By default. It's a measure that was given to him. And every believer, that when they come into the faith, is given a measure of faith. It's just like normal babies. You don't feed babies a whole bunch of, you know, food. No, it's by small measures. And in time, they grow. And it's our responsibility to take this small measure that's given to us, exercise it so it can grow. In fact, Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, four different times. And there were two disciples, all four times. Plus, one time he called them fools for having slow hearts to believe when he resurrected and showed himself. In fact, there might be some of us here tonight not realizing, or this morning, I'm sorry, not realizing Jesus has an assessment of your faith, and it might be small. Now, small is not necessarily bad, but it's not necessarily good either. But it can be grieving because you're not growing. Yes, you can have faith because it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's what Hebrews says. But did you know that it's also impossible to please God with little faith? Did you know that? You're living for God for 10, 15 years. And you're still stuck at little faith. It's grieving him. You're not pleasing him. He's like, you should ought to be over here, but you're still over there. You ought to be growing. And in Matthew 6:30, it says this. If God so clothed the field of the grass of the fields, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, he shall not, how much more shall he not clothe you, O you of little faith? He's talking to people that couldn't even trust him for the basic needs of life. He's like standing there, can't you trust me that I will at least provide food for you, at least water for you, and clothes, the basic needs? But you're here worrying? Oh, you a little faith? And then he says in Matthew 8, he says, behold, there's a great storm that arose in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves and the water. But Jesus was sleeping. And his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us or we perish. And he said to them, oh, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Do you think Jesus woke up in a good mood? And they're like, oh, thank goodness. You guys need help. Here I am. No, he's like, my goodness, I gave you authority. I gave you power. Why are you fearful? Why can't you rebuke the storm? And they're acting fearful, even scared to death. When he told them, I have the promise of eternal life. And you're fearful to die? It grieved them. It's impossible to please God with little faith. And in our base text, Jesus says, take heed to yourself. I mean, be watchful. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in one day, that's a lot. If seven times in one day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. You know, this might be sound easy to do until somebody sins against you. when somebody offends you. And not only that, when they do it over and over, again and again. In fact, it doesn't even have to be one day. It could be week by week. It could be month by month, because we have good memories. I remember last month, bro. I told you, and you're not listening. That's how we like to act. That's our flesh right there. You know, I'm going to teach you so you remember. I'm not just going to forgive you. That's how we act like. It wasn't miracles that they saw that made them say, Lord, increase our faith. It was forgiveness. It was in the area of forgiveness, to forgive those who have wronged them again and again, over and over. The command to walk in God's character hit them so hard that they cry out, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, is it possible? Lord, increase, do something. And he's going to go and teach them how to do it. So let's look at Jesus' response to them. He says this in verse 6. If you have a faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled by its roots and be planted into the sea, and it will obey you. Now, there's something you have to pay attention to this verse here. A mustard seed does not turn into a mulberry tree. Jesus is talking about spiritual opposition. I have a picture of a mulberry tree for those who've never seen a mulberry tree. I've never seen one, so I looked it up on Google. You could show the picture for me. And the fruit that comes with it. And as the mulberry tree goes in age, it's pretty a large tree right there. But as it gets older and older, it becomes less fruitful. It just bears leaves. But this speaks of spiritual opposition. Jesus is saying, faith is given to you as small as a mustard seed. And even though it's small, it's able to cast out the giants in your life. And it's our duty to put our faith to work, to plant seeds of faith, to cultivate it and cause it to grow. Romans 12 says, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So you can't say, I don't have no faith. No, when you come to Jesus, you have a little small faith there. And you have to use it, cause it to grow, cultivate it. So now the big question becomes, how do I grow my faith? That's a good question, amen? Pretty practical, amen? And he says the answer in the next four verses. He says, Jesus directs them in a way of life. He directs them in the area of obedience to authority. Listen to the parable he talks about in Luke 17, 7 through 8. He goes into a little small parable. He goes, which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? But would he not rather say to him, prepare me something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? So the disciples ask the question, how to increase our faith? And Jesus points them to the duty of a servant. So let's talk about that a little bit. Jesus talking about a servant plowing a field for his master. We're the servants here in this picture. And what Jesus is trying to say to them is that the master is definitely not going to say to the servant, you eat first. No, he's going to say to him, go prepare me something to eat first. So here's the point he's trying to drive into us. That go serve the one that you're under authority first, then yourself. That's how the servant and master relationship works. You're serving the master first. You're not serving yourself first. When he comes into the field, you're not going to prepare something for yourself. No, you're going to go prepare something for your master, because you're under his authority. That's what Jesus is trying to drive into. And the whole purpose of hiring a servant to plow your field and to tend your flock, if you were the master, what would be the goal? To put food on your table first. That's the reason why I hired you, buddy. So you can work for me, so I can have food on my table. The modern picture would be like this. If you were the boss and you were to hire an employee for you, the goal of that employee is to make work and make a profit for you, right? Not to be lazy and not to do anything, costing you more money. And you're paying them to make a profit so you can eat and enjoy the fruit of your business and your field. You're not worried about the pay already. You wouldn't hire somebody thinking, oh man, do I have enough money to pay them? No, that's already taken care of. You already had that in foresight. You're not worried about paying them. Otherwise, you wouldn't hire them. But you want the employee, that servant, to work, to serve, to be under your authority, and to serve your priorities first. To serve your business first, not theirs. And once that you are satisfied as the boss, or in this case, the master, then you let your employees enjoy the fruit of your labors or your business. But later. And the servant's job in this parable is to finish his job serving his master commands to the end. That's important. To the end. It says in verse 9, he said, does he thank that servant because he did the things that he was commanded? No, because he's under authority. He's simply doing what he's hired to do. And then the next verse, he said, likewise, Jesus turns it around to us. He said, likewise, you, when you have done or completed or finished all those things which you are commanded, say that we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. You see what Jesus did? He taught them something, and then he turned it around towards us as his disciples. Likewise, we are to do what we are commanded. Talking about our relationship with God. Our relationship with Jesus. Talking about relationship with each other and others. What is Jesus commanding us to do when somebody sins against you? And they come back and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. What is the command? Forgive. Isn't it? You shall forgive them. Not, oh, I'm not talking to you right now. Oh, I'm going to make you feel this one. You know, you need to tell me exactly what you did wrong. That sounds like almost like a marriage thing right there. And you're like out there, you're like, I don't know what I did wrong. Can you tell me, please? You know, but you know, women, they're kind of like, no, you need to think about it. And us men, we're like, we can't think. There's nothing in there. Tell me, please. I'm sorry. You know, begging so the relationship could be right. Jesus said, forgive. Don't ask for the details. Just forgive. You want your faith to increase? This is how your faith increases. When you obey to the end. When you finish your duty. Jesus is telling us there's a direct connection between faith and obedience to God, who we are under his authority. Every Christian is supposed to be under the authority of God. When God says something, we ought to be like, yes, Lord, and go do it. What is God dealing with you about? Let's look at the example of the centurion, the Roman centurion. This is a good example. He's one of the two that had great faith. And sometimes the Bible gives us good examples, amen, to learn from. So let's look at the centurion's faith, amen. Luke 7, 1 through 10. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And he heard Jesus, hearing comes by faith, he heard about Jesus, and he sent to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus and besought him instantly, saying, he is a worthy man who you should do this for. For he loves our nation, he has built us a synagogue. And then Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house. And then the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, since I'm not worthy to have you to come under my roof. That is why I didn't consider myself worthy to come to you in the beginning. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am too a man placed under authority. He recognized Jesus had authority. And he said, I am to a man that's placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to another one, come, and he comes. And I say to this servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard this, and he marveled at him. And he turned to the crowd following him and said, I tell you this, I have not found such a great faith even in all of Israel. And those who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant in good health. A Gentile, a Roman soldier, a Roman officer, ruling over the Jews, having great faith, something that he got that his disciples couldn't get. Never having to see Jesus in person, unlike his disciples, only by way of hearing. Why did this Roman centurion have such great faith? Because he was a man under authority. He had somebody over him, his commander. But he also had authority and soldiers under him. He gives the command and the soldiers would get the job done. He didn't have to worry about it. Just give the command, Jesus, and that demon will leave my servant. Because you have authority and you are submitted to your heavenly Father. He recognized that. That's how authority works. You always have, you're under somebody. I don't know if he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. I don't know. But he knew that he was a man of authority, and authority came from God. And he had the authority to bind and loose things. Lord, loose this demon that's tormenting my servant. This is what the centurion said. Lord, Jesus, just give the word. Meaning, just give the command and it shall be done. From a distance. Can your faith act like that? We know Jesus is not around. He's in heaven. Can you pray, Lord, just give the command from heaven and I know that it will be done? That's how faith works. You don't have to come back down, Lord Jesus. Just speak it and I know it will be done. And the disciples wanted to increase their faith. And Jesus is like, you want your faith to increase? Listen and do what I say. That's what he's connecting to. Jesus, God says, forgive. Forgive all the way. God says, repent. Repent all the way. God says, love unconditionally. Don't love with conditions. When you're submitted to God's authority, all you have to say is to the mulberry trees in your life, and they shall be cast out. These tormenting demons in your life, and they will listen. Listen, last time I checked, Jesus cast out a legion of demons from a man. And where did they go to? A pig. Pigs. And where did the pigs go to? The sea. Do you see the parallel? You say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up and cast into the sea. And Jesus demonstrated that. He cast out the demon. They went to the pigs and they went to the sea. There's a parallel in that. Spiritual opposition. Let's look at the example of a mother, a woman, a Canaanite woman, where Jesus said, great is your faith. It says in Matthew 15, then a Canaanite woman from that region came and crying out, Lord, have mercy. Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely tormented by a demon. But Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples approached him and urged him, send her away, Lord, because she's crying out after us. And he replied, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him. Notice her humility as a servant. And said, Lord, help me. And he answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was healed. She didn't want Jesus to come to heal her daughter personally or to lay hands. All she wanted was, Lord, just give the word. Give the command, and I know it will be done. Knowing that will happen. Notice these things. She knelt before him, meaning that she humbled herself as a servant with humility. The centurion also humbled himself by saying, Lord, I'm not worthy of you to come even come to my house. That's why I didn't want to go to you in the beginning. They're both humble. She asked for healing from a tormenting demon, from somebody she loved. So did the centurion soldier. It was for his servant. Tormenting. And the Jews view Roman soldiers as dogs. And she was not in the military, like the centurion, but she referred herself as a dog. Said, Lord, even the dogs wait at the table for the crumbs to fall off. Knowing that she was undeserving. As dogs, you know, dogs are servants to man. And she humbled herself that way, waiting until the master finished their foods first, and then they eat. And she says, give the word. If you know, how many people have dogs in their house? You have a dog, right? Does the dog stay by the table wanting food? Right? They do. But as the master of the table, you're like, I'm going to eat my food first. And then after I'm done with this bone, then you can have it. Because that you have to eat the meat first, right? We don't eat bones. The dog wants. So as a servant, she waits. As a dog, she waits. You give the bones to the dog and say, here, I'm done. Now you can eat. You serve the master first. All she wanted Jesus to do is give the command and she know it will be done. Now let's look at a bad example, amen. Because bad examples are there in the Bible as well for us to learn from. And Peter, walking on water, started out good, but ended up in a bad example. I'm going to thank Peter one day when I get to heaven. I'm like, thank you, man, for all the bad examples I was able to use in my sermons, you know. Thank you, Peter, you know. But Matthew 14 talks about this story. He says, Peter answered to the Lord Jesus, say, Lord, if it will be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And the Lord Jesus said, come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now listen, Jesus gave the command, come. Right? And Peter, he said, okay. He got out of the ship. His friends are like, dude, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I'm about to walk on water. Walking on water, but then he notices everything around him. He saw the winds, he saw the waves, and he doubted. He didn't go all the way. Jesus said, come to me. He only made it halfway. It shows to us that halfway obedience is not good enough. You can't say, some days I can live for Christ, and some days I need a vacation, I need to live for myself. Can't do that. That's not 50%. You can't say, some days I believe and some days you won't. It's like you hire somebody to work and then some days they show up to work and some days they don't. The employer would get, you know, pretty upset. It'll grieve them. Like, man, I hired you to work for me. Some days you feel like forgiving. And then some days you don't feel like forgiving. It doesn't work that way. All the way to the end. Let's look at the humility of the servants. Luke 17:10, it says this. We have done what was our duty. Notice the humility of the servant in the parable. It's key because it will help us make it to the end. When you have humility. What will keep your faith strong is humility. When pride gets in the heart of a man or a woman, it gets in the way of faith. You want to serve your own flesh. You want to serve your own way. and you fall short of your duty. To forgive someone, you have to humble yourself. You can't say, oh, you know what? I'm going to make you feel this one. No, you have to humble yourself and say, okay, Lord, you said to forgive, therefore I'm going to forgive. Psalms 29:5, it says this, verse 9, the humble, God shows them your ways, his ways. There should be a humility about us as we grow and serve Christ. How can I forgive my brother and sister? How can I forgive my mom or dad? How can I forgive my wife or my husband, my boss or my coworker? Put on humility. That's how. Humble yourself. And humility plows the way for your faith to be completed. And when it's completed, it increases. You notice that? When it's completed, it grows. It increases. That's how you grow in faith. That's how you have great faith. When you go to when it's completed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 6. He says this. When we are ready to punish every act of disobedience. Once your obedience is fulfilled or complete. Notice what he says here. Is that you will have faith to deal with the disobedience or the evil forces once your obedience is completed. To deal with this stuff, you have to follow all the way through. The greater your obedience is, the greater your faith becomes. You're not like Peter going halfway. And then he says, oh, little faith. You go all the way to the end. When it's completed, it grows. Not, Lord, I almost did everything. But you can say, Lord, I have done all that you have commanded. Like the parable. Let's close real quick, amen, with the base text, amen. Luke 17, 3-5. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in one day, forgive him 7 times in one day. If he comes to you saying, Lord, I forgive me, I repent. And the apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. You want your faith to increase? Don't stop forgiving. Let your life be like a river that flows with forgiveness. Because if it's a river flowing with forgiveness, things can blossom in your life. Don't stop loving. Don't stop showing mercy. Don't stop. Like the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus said, just as your heavenly Father has forgiven you, go be my servants and forgive others. Amen? Amen. Let's give God praise in this house. Amen.